I thank you so much, Father God, that you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and that through Christ you've demonstrated to the world your goodness, your grace, your love, your mercy. I thank you that he was willing to lay his life down, and Jesus, we're just so grateful for that. Holy Spirit, guide us as we open your word today, this Spirit-inspired, God-breathed word, and I pray that today will be a day where we have greater understanding experientially, that we can be true doers of your precious word. Amen. Clicker has to be on to advance the slides. Romans 12, 6 through 8. We're still talking about grace gifts. I did a little introduction last week, just did part A of verse 6, but today I'm going to kind of sweep through quickly what I could easily expand into a dozen sermons. And I say that seriously. Those of you that endured with me over the years that it took to get through Ephesians, you know that I can look at the little pieces of Scripture and find other Scriptures that support those concepts, and looking at the full measure of Scripture to teach the truth that's got so many depths. And there's no way that we can get to all of the depths of God's love and God's truth. And so I encourage you, I exhort you to, I urge you to spend time in God's Word, looking deeper, listening to Holy Spirit as He interprets what He's already taught us by giving us His Word. And I know that whatever words I'm able to say from this pulpit, I pray that they are from God and not my words, but His thoughts. But I also exhort you to seek deeper. If you find things I'm saying that aren't correct, please correct me. If you're finding things that you don't understand, ask, and we can search together and find God's truth as we look deeper and try to interpret all of Scripture by Scripture. Today's text, if you're following along in the Pew Bibles, those nice green Bibles with the large print, we're on page 1732. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Before I continue reading that, I just have to take a little quick pause here. How many of us have tried to get out ahead of our skis on various different things, like trying to share the gospel? And we're trying to share something that we don't even necessarily believe ourselves. That can be dangerous because you've moved beyond that measure of faith that you've been given by God. Just share according to the faith that you've been given. Share sincerely what you know to be true. If you're not sure about something, don't go out there just because you heard that you're supposed to share it this way. You know, sometimes we can get guilt trips from pastors and Sunday school teachers and Bible teachers about this is the way you're supposed to share the gospel. And everybody goes out there trying to do it the way that they've been taught how to do it. And it's like, if you don't know God in that way, what are you sharing? And people can see through that. Why do you think that people in the world see oftentimes the church is just full of a bunch of hypocrites? Because we all have been hypocrites at times. We've gone out pretending to proclaim something that we don't even necessarily believe ourselves. We have to be careful about that. So if your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. I think each of us has a little bit of gift of prophesying. Now, if you're thinking about Old Testament prophets wearing weird clothes and proclaiming, you know, this is the word of God, thus saith the Lord, and they're going on and sometimes can be a little bit scary, and then people die, and you know, it's like, okay, I may have met a couple prophets like that in my life, but generally prophets are people that just are proclaiming the truth that God has provided them with, and oftentimes it's just proclaiming Scripture. So if you understand the Scripture that you're trying to share with somebody based on the level of faith that you have, if you have faith in God and it just comes naturally, go for it. if you don't have an understanding of what you're sharing, I urge you again, just don't pretend. Okay, let's be real. There's another thing you can do, though. James, a little brother of Jesus, when he's talking about anybody that lacks wisdom, they should pray. They should ask for it. You just ask God. It's like, Lord, I don't have that measure of faith that I wish I had. I don't have that ability to share what I know I should be sharing because somebody told me I should be. But, Lord, can you give me the faith and the wisdom and the understanding to know how to share this properly? And then when you're sharing, it will be according to your faith. And God's very generous. He'll give you more and more wisdom. He'll give you more and more faith. But, you know, seek and ye will find. It's one of those things where we don't just automatically have it. And going through the motions and putting on the right clothes and sitting in the right meetings and opening your Bible to the right verses doesn't necessarily get you to the right place. I'm going to jump ahead before I finish this introductory screen. In Romans here, Romans 12, there's this section that we're going through right now talking about spiritual gifts. Well, the very next verse, verse 9, that we're not going to get to today, that'll be next week, love must be sincere. It's like there's all this stuff about gifts and you should be doing what you're supposed to be doing and God created you to be somebody and whoever he created you to be, do that really well. And then he says, love must be sincere. And today we're also going to go to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, there's a long section about spiritual gifts. I'm going to go through all of chapter 12. And not in the depth that I would like to, but we'll get through it. And interesting part is, as soon as Paul's finished teaching the church in Corinth about spiritual gifts, the very next chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, is all about love. Why does love have to come up after spiritual gifts? Well, a lot of times what I've seen, what I've observed, is that oftentimes people feel gifted by God and they lord it over others with their gifts, whatever those gifts are. And if we don't have love, those gifts really aren't very important. We've misused them, we've abused them. You know what? If you have a hammer and you're a carpenter and you're using that hammer properly to build something, great, that's a good tool. If the hammer is the only tool you have and you use that in your conversations with people you disagree with, it's not a good tool. Okay. I'm going to get back to this screen here. It's like prophesy in accordance with your faith. And I think it's important that we understand, okay, let's not get too far ahead. It's like, okay, I don't really believe what I'm sharing right now. I shouldn't be sharing it. I happen to believe what I'm sharing with you right now. If it is serving, okay, so everyone in the congregation, everyone in the body of Christ has been given gifts. If your gift is serving, we've got some serving people in this congregation. We have serving people in the body of Christ in Skycomish. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. All of these, it's like God places gifts in people to build up his body so that it's all for the benefit of the whole. Amen. If it's giving, give generously. And there's this concept of you can't outgive God. Now, I've heard people that are trying to be fundraisers try to use that so that they can get more money. If you've noticed over the last 10 years, have I emphasized giving here very much? I mean, we tell you where the box is. If you want to put stuff in the box, put it in the box. And God has always provided. And I know that God is the provider. And I don't want to ever lay a guilt trip on somebody to think that, you know, you just need to give more because you can't outgive God, so give him more and more and more, you know? And it's like, that can be very self-serving sometimes when people are sharing that scripture, sharing that concept. God raises up givers. And if God has gifted you with that ability to be giving, give generously. And now that could be giving generously of your time and resources. It could be giving generously of your finances. It could be giving generously of your prophesying, encouraging, teaching, serving, whatever it is. As God's gifted you, if one of the things he's gifted you with is the ability to let go of stuff, then keep letting go of it, because it's like an endless flow. It's going to keep coming. And I'm not telling you that to try to get you to think, oh, if I give more, I'll get more. No, that's not it at all. If God's gifted you, given you a grace gift of giving, and you give, you're just a conduit of God's giving. Amen. And you can keep on giving generously because he's going to keep on pouring stuff in. Now, honestly, I don't sometimes know where all the resources are that God has blessed Kathy and I with. There's been more than a few times where we quit a job that was paying pretty decently and went and took a job that was paying less, and then all of a sudden we realized we have more. And I don't know how that works. There's no logical explanation for it. God is a big God. And I haven't been able to outgive him, but I'm certainly not going to try to tell people, give so that you can get more. No, that's... If you do that, you're probably going to end up bankrupt and you're going to have to come to the church and say, we need help. Okay? Take care of your own finances too. Listen to God. Don't just give haphazardly because you think it's a special magic tool that you can get stuff with. And we have to be careful when we look in Scripture. It's like rightly dividing the word of truth doesn't mean that you find one verse and you live by that one and ignore the rest of them. You know, if you don't love your family, you're worse than an infidel. Take care of your own as well. Take care of those in your body, in your church. Take care of each other. And as God has gifted you to give, then give generously. If your grace gift is to lead, do it diligently. There's a number of people in this community that are leaders. And I know some people complain there's only about 10% of the people doing 80% of the work or whatever. Well, maybe that's the way that God designed it. Because he designs people to be leaders in communities to be the ones that kind of push and get that stuff going. Now, if you're doing it begrudgingly, are we using a grace gift or are we just putting a guilt trip on everybody else because they're not as good at this as we are? And it's like the only reason we're good at it is because God gave us the gift to do it. We forget that part. And so, you know, just carefully, you know, recognize that maybe if God's given you the gift to lead, then just lead. And don't worry about if everybody's noticing it or not. Don't worry about if everybody's doing it the same way you're doing it or not. Be a leader. If you've been gifted by God to lead, do it diligently. If your grace gift is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I did mention last week as we were doing the introduction to this, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. This is not an exhaustive list. There are all sorts of other gifts, grace gifts that God has given individuals and given groups. And this is just a representation of some of those gifts. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Little brother of Jesus that didn't think much of Jesus until after he met him after the resurrection, he knew his brother pretty well, he thought, but he really knew his brother after he died and rose again, and they had a conversation, and James becomes a leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he starts living for Jesus, his big brother. And he's saying every good and perfect gift is from the Father. And God gives gifts. These grace gifts he's given us, they're from the Father. We can't take credit for what God is giving us. Amen. We can just use them cheerfully, diligently, all the other somethings that are thrown on there. 1 Corinthians 13. Before I go to 1 Corinthians 12, I just wanted to show you what comes after all the talk about gifts. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, wow, I've really got it together. I know everything. You know, I can look at this little DNA strand, and I can tell you what's missing and why it's mixed up and how to fix it. And, you know, I've got great knowledge. If I have all faith, I believe I can fix this. You ever met a brain surgeon that has perfect confidence? I hope you have, because, you know, you don't want them to go in there not understanding what they're doing and not having that knowledge. But that in itself isn't enough. If I have all of that, if I have the faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And then that whole chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is talking and explaining about what love is. And it's like, this is more important than all this other stuff that happened in chapter 12. So as I go back to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, realize that without love, none of this really makes sense. None of it's that important. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, 1 Corinthians 12 is on page 1753. It'll also be up on the screen if your eyesight's good enough to read that. I hope I've got a large enough font for you. Lord, thank you once again for your word. Help us to rightly divide and to interpret what you have placed here for us. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. King James Version, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So recognizing that level of faith that you have, if you believe that Jesus is Lord, proclaim it. Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? Did it change who you are? Does it change the way you live? Does it change the way you think? Because if it doesn't, he's not really your Lord. We can be proclaiming the truth, Jesus is the King of all kings. But then to say Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is the one that determines the outcome of everything that I am able to do and say and think. We can't truthfully say that. I mean, people can say those words. But you can't sincerely, truthfully say that without Holy Spirit dwelling within you. So about gifts, we don't want you to be ignorant. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So you've got gifts, you've got service, you've got working, you've got all these things that make up our essence of who we are and what we do. Recognize that every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father. So wherever you think you got all these skills, it's from God. Now, before people think, because you know, I know there's arguments about, okay, well, yeah, the Protestants, they're so bad about this works thing. You know, they almost like say, yeah, just faith and we don't need anything else. It's like, yeah, well, if I truly have faith, there will be works. There will be. I can go to college and think that I'm going to be the most brilliant biochemist or whatever else it is that you're wanting to do. And if you do that thinking I'm already there and I don't have to learn anything and you don't study and you don't apply yourself and you don't listen to the professors and you don't take the time that it is required to hone that gift, you might have been gifted with the ability to determine all sorts of things. But if you don't study it and spend time with it and work with it, you're not going to be able to come to the fullness of that gift. Not in my notes. I'm going to jump to some weird little thing that some of you will wonder, where's he going? And that's fine. How many of you are familiar with Samson? Old Testament judge. He was born with a gift of you're going to rule Israel, you're going to kind of be in charge. You're going to be the one that everybody's resting on and relying on. And God used him mightily. And even by the time we get to the faith chapter in Hebrews 11, it mentions Samson. It's like, but if you look at his life, this guy was messed up. Okay? Do you have to be perfect to allow God to use you? You don't, thankfully. Hopefully we're not as messed up as Samson, but you know there's some days. Okay, so he had this weakness for women. Saw a lady that he really liked and he wanted to marry her, and he told his mom and his dad, but she was a foreign lady, and they said, well, can't you find anybody that's local here? No, I want this one. So they go down, they arrange the marriage. And a lot of bad stuff happened. Go back and read in Judges. I mean, this story gets nuts. It's like he never is able to consummate that marriage because they kind of tricked him into doing some other things, and he trying to show off, and he's using the power that God's given him, and he's out killing people, and he's doing all kinds of stuff, and he's burning their villages, and then he's like, well, why didn't you save her for me? It's like, no, we gave her to your best man. Sorry. Okay. And then he says, well, I'll get you back, and he gets a bunch of foxes, and he ties their tails together and lights some torches and sends them out into their fields, and he's burning all of their crops, and so they get mad at this man that gave his daughter to somebody else besides Samson, and they burn him all up. And then he, after all of this, you'd think he'd learn his lesson, but no, he finds some lady that he kind of likes, and she convinces him to give up all kinds of secrets, and eventually he tells her, you know, where his strength's coming from, and he gives up on God, basically. And even at the end, he's like, okay, Lord, can you just use me one more time? And he brings down the house, and more people died, more of his enemies died in his death than had while he was living. Samson was a messed up guy. But God had gifted him, and God gives these gifts. And I think Samson at one point, you know, when he's telling his girlfriend all this stuff about, yeah, you know, you can do whatever you want, but I'm going to... He really thought that the strength was in his own abilities. And he lost that when he cut the connection off with God. We need to remember that the Spirit is the one that distributes the gifts. The Spirit is where our gifting is going to be given strength and ability to be used. Now, there's different kinds of service, different kinds of workings and all that. Verse 7, to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given, each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's whether you're doing your working, service, spiritual gifts, it's all for the common good. It's all to build up the body of Christ. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, discernment, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. Another place he says male or female. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Again, it's for the whole. It's for the community. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Sorry, just another quick aside before I move on here. Southern Baptist Convention is going to be meeting this week. And they oftentimes end up in the press for whatever reason. The media loves to beat up on religious organizations. And they're big enough that they have influence different places and in different ways. And I think, you know, we should be in prayer for that part of the body of Christ as they meet this week, that they can find a way to unity. Oftentimes, the body of Christ is known for kind of group that shoots its own wounded. And we've got to find ways to love each other. There is division when you look at it from a worldly point of view, but if we can trust that Holy Spirit is in charge, we can see unity. And so I'm praying for unity during that time, that there won't be a whole lot of really crazy, embarrassing things that the media wants to try to rain down on all of Christianity. I'm just noticing lately, as I observe TV shows, news articles, whatever, that there seems to be a movement to try to belittle Christianity and to try to find ways to put Christianity down. And part of that is that many times in the Christian world, it gets conflated with, you know, one idea or another, one party or another. When we start thinking that our church might be an extension of the GOP or an extension of the Democratic Party or an extension of the Libertarian Party or whatever, it's like that can create division in the body of Christ. And if we can't love each other, I know within a few feet of each other out in this congregation right now in this beautiful community of Sky Cove, there's people that are on polar opposites of the political spectrum, and they love each other. And it's my prayer that take place at the Southern Baptist Convention this week. And so I'm just asking that you hold them up. I don't have any doubt in my mind that the media will find ways to try to make Christianity look bad with whatever happens. But if we can be strong in our love for one another, even when we disagree with one another, because we will disagree with one another. If you haven't figured that out, you know, you haven't been married and you haven't lived in a family anywhere, okay? It's like disagreement is part of life. But it doesn't mean that we have to separate. It doesn't mean that we have to beat each other up and shoot our wounded. So, sorry, threw that one more aside in. If you're worried about missing lunch, Smokies doesn't open until 11:30, so we're okay. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And in the Greek, there's an emphatic understanding that the answer to every one of those questions is no. It's not everybody. So God places in his body the gifts that are necessary to grow his body, to grow his church. And we don't all do the same thing. If a whole bunch of you are all exactly the same, it's like, okay, we got a bunch of clones, and that's not a family, and that's not a church. Okay? Sometimes the differences is what makes us strong. Eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And then Paul goes on to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, where he talks about love. The most excellent way is love. So whatever gift God has placed in you, has given you, use it. Do it diligently, cheerfully, with all your heart, as much as you possibly can. If your gift is leadership, then lead. If your gift is whatever it is, you work that out with God, whatever he's gifted you with. If you don't have the gift God wanted to give you, talk to him about it. Don't pretend you have a gift you don't have. And he might even give you the one that you want if you just ask him. It'll work out. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So in closing for today with today's text, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, what are you going to do?
Prophesy.
In accordance with your faith. If it is serving?
Serve.
And if it is teaching?
Teach.
If it is to encourage?
Encourage.
I mean, is there a pattern here? It's like whatever gift you've been given, just do that. Be the person God created you to be. Don't be the person that you think everybody else wants you to be. Don't go out and get above your skis and when you're ahead of your skis and you're thinking, whoops. Because you might not have seen that sign that said cliff. Lord, we turn to you knowing that you are the only way, the truth, the life. And we turn to you knowing that we want to have life and have it more abundantly. We want to be able to proclaim your truth from the housetops, from the mountaintops, and we'd love to be able to do that. Give us the faith and the ability to understand what we're sharing and that we are just created to be who you want us to be. Help us not to try to be somebody else, but to be the very best version. Give us the wisdom to work hard at being who you want us to be. Help us to get out of our own way so that we can truly serve you and demonstrate your love to everybody we come in contact with. I'm so glad, Jesus, that we can pray in your holy and precious, inspiring name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Now from Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.